ended 2 weeks ago, and the results are in. This year, the auction brought in $7,837 for our church. Thank you to everyone who donated and bid on items. Your generosity is heartwarming and greatly appreciated. To find out what you won, pick up your treasures, and or make a payment, see Kevin and Amy C. in the social hall after the service today. Thank you again. Claire Johnson is organizing a special black light movement routine for our holiday choral service on December 15th. If you would like to participate in this low-impact body movement dance, please come to the first organizational meeting and sign up after today's service. All body types and abilities are welcome. No prior dance experience needed to participate. Look for Claire in the social hall for more information. As you can see, today is the Day of the Dead. If you have brought a picture of someone to remember, please feel free to bring it forward during the prelude and place it on the Day of the Dead altar.
Life is a brief interval between birth and death. May we celebrate that interval with joy. May we sing the song that belongs to us. May we act as if our very life depends on it, for it does. Welcome into this place where we come to celebrate and to sing and to live. Come, let us worship here together. If you would, please take a moment this morning to introduce yourself to the people around you or just to say hello. Hello.
Between what is and what was is thin, we light this chalice as a beacon, shining out to guide us all home. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Fran Bills, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, wherever they are on life's journey and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. While you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to all of our visitors, friends, and members joining in. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics you may have here, you may have brought with you today. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We're so pleased that you've chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
It's not always easy to make ends meet these days, and one of the ways we care for the wider community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items, which we donate each month. If you have items to share, please bring them forward at this point, or ask a child to bring them forward for you, and I invite the children to stay up front for a story. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Day of the Dead service. Not long ago, someplace very much like this, there was a little girl named Marisol. And Marisol was 13, and she lived in a house with her mom, Maria, her father, Christopher, and her abuela, or grandmother, Sibel. And Marisol was born here in the United States. She liked rap music and the 4th of July and especially ice cream. She liked to watch American television. And she shook her head and said, "No way," when her grandma asked her to watch a Mexican TV show or listen to Mexican music. Grandma Sibel was born in Mexico, just like Dad. She came to the United States and got married and had Mama long before Marisol was born. And Mom and Pop and Aunt Abuela Sabel liked Mexican music and Mexican TV, and they liked to tell jokes and stories in Spanish. And sometimes they talked too fast, and Marisol had to listen really hard to understand what they said. She loved Mexican food, but when she went to school each day, she would throw away the lunch her mom packed and buy meatloaf or fried chicken or a hot dog and potato chips. Even when the cafeteria served tacos, her favorite food in all the world, she would turn her nose up and sniff and tell her friends, "Ew, I don't eat that foreign stuff." At school, she never spoke Spanish, and sometimes she even laughed when people told jokes about a Mexican cutting their grass or having a funny name. She laughed with everybody else so they wouldn't look at her. And one day she came home from school and found Mama and Abuela Sabel in the kitchen cooking, and the house smelled so good, like pork and chilies and homemade tamales and 100 other great things. She should have been really happy, but she just shook her head. They were getting ready for Day of the Dead, what we're celebrating here today. The holiday she hated most in all the world. Marisol, Mama said, "Come and help Abuela with the enchilada sauce, and then we'll put the flowers and the presents and the pictures on the altar." "I don't want to," Marisol said. "Day of the Dead is stupid." "Marisol," her mother said, "it isn't. We honor our family, the people who came before us." "We're in America now," Marisol said. "Skulls and ghosts are for Halloween, and that was the other day. I don't want to eat Mexican food. I don't want to listen to stupid Mexican music. I don't want to hear you speak Spanish, and I don't want this stupid Mexican holiday, and I don't want to be a stupid Mexican." And she threw her backpack down and she ran out the door. You ever yelled at your mom and dad?
No.
Are you all fibbing? Well, Marisol walked for blocks and blocks, and at last she decided she'd go see her friend Miguel. He didn't speak Spanish at school either, and he told everybody his name was Mike. He wouldn't care about some stupid Day of the Dead Mexican holiday. But when she got to his house, she got a big surprise. Miguel opened the door and asked her to come in. He was wearing a Mexican soccer jersey and had a plate full of things like menudo and tamales and tacos. "Hey, Marisol, glad you're here," he said. "See my new jersey? Come in and meet my aunt and uncle. My whole family's here." She looked around in surprise. Miguel's family had the biggest Day of the Dead altar, just like this one, that she had ever seen, with orange and yellow flowers on it, and skulls called calaveras, just like those up front. There were candles and pictures. "Look," Miguel said. He pointed to a skeleton doll. "My uncle brought these for me." Marisol didn't know what to say. "And my grandma made this menudo, and she brought pictures of my grandpa, and she showed them to me. I never even met him, but he looked just like me. And he likes all the same food I did." Marisol shook her head. This wasn't what she expected. She said goodbye fast and left. "I'll go see Carmelita," she said. "She won't care about any of this. She spends all her time on the phone, and she doesn't even speak Spanish at all." But when she got to Carmelita's house, she got another surprise. Carmelita's whole family was out on the patio, and Carmelita had a pretty white dress and a wreath of orange flowers. "My aunt's teaching me Spanish," Carmelita said, "and she brought pictures of my cousins from Mexico. And this dress is just like the one that my cousin has there. Our moms made them so we'd look alike. I helped make the food. Do you want some?" Marisol said she had to leave. Thinking hard, she walked back to her house. And when she got there, her grandma was waiting. "Marisol, come here. I want to tell you a story." Her mom sat down next to her and listened to her grandma talk. "When I was a little girl, just a year older than you are now," her grandma said, "my mom and daddy brought me to the United States. We paid men money and they brought us across the border and they left us alone in the desert. We walked for 3 days with no food and no water. And when we came here, we spoke no English and no one spoke Spanish." "What did you do?" Marisol said. She had never heard this story. "We tried to learn really quick," her grandma said, "but sometimes people were not friendly. We couldn't live where we wanted, and when I went with my dad to register for school, a boy in the playground called me a dirty Mexican, even though I had on my best dress." Marisol stared at her grandma. She tried hard not to cry when she thought about her pretty, clean grandma as a little girl, with her hair in a nice braid and her white church dress on. How could anybody have called her a name? And she suddenly remembered laughing at that joke about the Mexicans and the grass cutting, and it wasn't very funny anymore. "When I came home that day," her grandma said, "I told my mom I wanted to be an American. I didn't want to be a stupid Mexican anymore. And I didn't want any stupid Mexican holidays." "What did she say?" Marisol said. "She told me I should be proud to be Mexican American, and that I should always remember where I came from and who I was." Her grandma pointed to the Day of the Dead altar. "We celebrate the Day of the Dead to honor those who have gone before us, to remain connected to them, to let them live in us so that we will never forget, and so that we know who we are and can be proud." "You still have time to go get dressed," Marisol's mom said. "Can I help cook dinner?" Marisol asked. "Of course," her mom said. "We celebrate Day of the Dead to remember who we came from. Whether we are Mexican, whether we are German or English, French or Dutch, Native American, Day of the Dead lets us remember who our people are. Thank you all for listening to my story today. Would you help me sing the children out? And could I get my lantern bearer up here?" Please stand in body or spirit and join me in our opening hymn, number 1051, "We Are." And I understand we are going to do this straight through. In the interest of us not getting lost and confused.
I'll play through the first couple lines so you get the feel of it.
Thank you.
There was a farmer who called the office of the minister and asked to speak to the head hog at Y'all's trough. The office administrator was horrified and said, "Sir, if you are talking about our beloved minister, you may call her reverend or pastor, but my heavens, I don't think it's proper to refer to her as the head hog at the trough." "Well, okay," the farmer said, sounding quite embarrassed. "I didn't mean any disrespect, and I'll let you go. It was just that I sold a bunch of pigs today and was going to donate $10,000 to the church, and I was hoping to catch her. I'm sorry to have bothered you." There was a long pause. Just a minute, sir," the office administrator said. "I think I hear the little porker coming in now." The morning offering will now be given and received. Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and work of this community. This is the time in our service where we share our joys and our concerns, and we do this in two ways, by speaking them aloud and by lighting candles. Would anyone who has a joy or concern to share please raise your hand, and the ushers will bring you a microphone. And I'll let you know that during a later portion of the service, we are going to be speaking the names of those we've lost or those we would like to think about today. So please use this time for more current joys and concerns.
Hi, I'm Barb. My joy is that my sister Becky is visiting and taking care of me this week while my husband goes on a hunting trip. And so wonderful to spend the time together. And a note of concern, I had left knee replacement surgery, and there's an issue that's a little touchy in terms of a bone healing problem, and I ask your prayers for that.
I'm Liz. I have a joy to share. My nephew was born this week, Risen Crimmins. We're all very happy.
Hi, my name's Dave, and I'd like to light a candle of concern for all victims of drunk driving accidents.
My name is Claire. I just want to share two joys. One, my sister-in-law is now being transferred to a rehab facility for her head injuries that she sustained 2 weeks ago. She's making remarkable progress. I'd just like to thank the congregation for all your prayers and positive thoughts. Really appreciate it. And my other second joy is a welcome to Reverend Amory. We had a wonderful installation service, and I think the congregation is very happy to have you here.
My name is John, and I'm expressing a concern for my nephew, who just turned 16. Oh, my wife just corrected me. He turned 17. But he's already been through a bone marrow transplant, two forms of leukemia, and a heart transplant. And he's been out of the hospital for most of the last year, which is the longest he's been out of the hospital in quite a while. But I just found out from my brother that he has to go back in to the hospital this week because the heart rejection meds are not quite right. But his name is Zachary. So just ask for your prayers for him and his family.
Hi, this is Tom. My daughter Rosa had a car accident on I-94 about a week and a half ago, so she has two cracked ribs now and no transportation, and so lost her job. And so we're trying to help her through this difficult time now.
My name's Lynn. I just light a candle for Eugene Callender. He passed away as a black minister from Harlem, one of my sister's best friends, and kind of a surrogate grandfather for my children in New York. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Vincent, and I have a concern about that it was raining on Halloween.
My name is Robin, and I'm thinking of the death of my wife Edith 12 years ago, and also for my son, who we had his memorial in this very room, and that was about 3 years ago. And so we don't have the pictures for him, but I remember them just the same.
And we light our last candles today for those joys and sorrows which we hold deeply, but which have not been named.
The first reading today
is an explanation of the Day of the Dead, written by UU Minister Reverend Helen Carroll. Don't be afraid of El Día de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. This is a happy holiday. This ancient holiday began as a day of thanks for the harvest. It became a time put aside to remember our ancestors and people we love who have died. On the first day, we clean the house really well. This is to show our respect for the people we love who have died, so they can see that we want them around and they are important. Then relatives put flowers on graveyards or in vases with cards. Then they create an altar somewhere in the house. An altar is a decorated table, and for Day of the Dead, it has lots of candles and bright colors and maybe flowers. They serve the same purpose as a scrapbook or a photo album. Pictures of the departed, along with favorite loved objects and other mementos, are placed on the altar. Lots of families keep a special box of things to remember the people they love who died, and they put them on the altar every year. At my house, I put my sister's doll, a little toy stove that my grandma had when she was a little girl, and a glass that was my grandpa's. We might add Papa Picado and Calaveras, the bright colors and silly skeletons doing all the things we like to do are to remind us that people we love who are gone from us aren't scary or monsters. The rest of this day is spent making the favorite foods of all the people we are remembering and a special kind of bread called pan de muerto. On the second day, families have big celebrations at their homes. They serve the food they made the day before, and we think about how much we loved the people. They eat candy shaped like skeletons. Friends stop by and people dance and sing. This is a very happy holiday, and people are glad to feel like the people they love and miss are nearby. On the third day, especially in some cities here in New Mexico, the holiday expands to the whole town. There may be parades and floats and costumed characters. Coffins are carried that have people in them dressed in skeleton outfits. Many superstitions have been added over the years, but for the most part, this ancient holiday is as it always was, a time of remembrance and love. So don't be afraid of the Day of the Dead. This is a happy holiday. Here ends the first reading.
As we think about those who have gone from us into mystery, I bring this poem. Breathing in, I am aware of my pain. Breathing out, I am aware that I am not my pain. Breathing in, I am aware of my past. Breathing out, I am aware that I am not my past. Breathing in, I am aware of my anger, and breathing out, I am aware that I am not that anger. Breathing in, I am aware of my despair, and breathing out, I am aware that I have moved beyond my despair. Breathing in, I am aware of peace. And breathing out, I am aware that I am worthy of that peace. Breathing in, I am aware of love. Breathing out, I am aware I am worthy to be loved. Breathing in, I am aware of joy. And breathing out, I am aware that I bring joy. Breathing in, I am aware of hope. Breathing out, I am aware that I am an agent of hope. breathing in, breathing out. I am aware. I am. Please join me in a moment of silent meditation or the spirit of prayer. The second reading today is taken from the Sabbath and Festival Prayer Book. In this solemn hour, consecrated to our beloved dead, we ponder over the flight of time, the frailty and uncertainty of human life. In this hour sacred to memory, when the past and the future merge, we are grateful for the blessings that have come to us through the love and devotion of our dear ones. For many of us, this hour recalls the memory of beloved parents now removed from their earthly tasks. We are ever mindful of the devotion with which they tended and guided us, the sacrifices they made, the comforts and joys they brought us, the teachings and traditions they sought to impart unto us. They are forever bound to us by undying love. There are those among us who call to mind a departed husband or wife. They recall the affectionate bonds formed, the faith and understanding, the struggles and hopes, the trials and griefs, the fears and joys they shared together. There are parents in our midst who mourn a beloved child taken from them in the freshness and vigor of youth, for whom they had planned and hoped, upon whom they lavished care and affections. There are those who recall a sister or brother, now no longer among the living, with whom they grew up in happy fellowship, loyal and devoted companions who shared with them the experience of childhood and youth. With tender emotions, we all recall friends and companions who were dear to us in life and whose friendship and understanding were a constant benediction to us. Though our departed are no longer with us, their memories are forever enshrined in our hearts, and their influence abides with us, directing our thoughts and deeds towards the lofty purposes they cherish and for which they strived. Here ends the second reading. Please stand in body or spirit and joining in singing hymn 55, Dark of Winter.
Thank you.
Unlike Halloween, a holiday filled with spooky monsters and scary stories, the Day of the Dead is a joyous celebration. Scholars trace the origins of the modern Mexican holiday to indigenous observances dating back thousands and thousands of years. It actually began as an Aztec festival, as far as we can determine. The holiday has spread throughout the world. In Brazil, there is a version that's a public holiday that most Brazilians celebrate by visiting cemeteries and churches. In Spain, there are festivals and public parades, and at the end of the day, people gather at cemeteries to pray for their dead loved ones. Similar observances occur elsewhere in Europe and have become more popular. And Asian and African cultures have begun to pick up the same thing. Rituals celebrating the deaths of our ancestors have been observed in civilizations for over 3,000 years. In the pre-Hispanic era in Mexico, skulls were actually kept as memorials to those who had gone before, and they were decorated beautifully. That's the birth of the decorated skull images that we see today, which is kind of a little unnerving if you think about it. I much prefer the paper version. And originally this festival fell somewhere around August, September, during harvest, and it went for a whole month. The goddess that it was dedicated to was known as the Lady of the Dead, which corresponds to the modern Katrina. In most places in Mexico, this isn't a hard and fast breakdown of what day you do what, but November 1st honors children, infants. Deceased adults are honored on November 2nd. So you'll hear the first referred to as the Day of the Innocents or the Day of the Little Angels, and November 2nd as the Day of the Dead. Because the first is the Day of Little Angels, children typically make the altars on that day to invite the children gone on to come back and visit. This is done much differently than the spooky, scary, creepy things you see for Halloween. The intent is that for living children, the children who've gone before them remain a part of their story, a part of their life, as real to them as living siblings, living parents, that they don't vanish, that they don't become a monster or a spooky ghost. The parties use marigolds, which are considered the flower of the dead, muertos, or the bread of the dead, sugar skulls, cardboard skeletons, tissue paper, incense, anything you can throw at an altar to make it look bright and beautiful and warm and welcoming is used. And people build private altars. And often the celebrations get quite funny, because part of this is to keep the people alive as people. So for all of you who have dear relatives who have departed, but who were the subject of some pretty darn funny stories while they were alive, this would be the time to tell them, to share them. It's similar to an Irish wake in this sense, or even to a roast in some cases, as the stories do get pretty humorous. Graves are also cleaned during this time as a sign of respect. Toys are brought for the children. And while this may seem strange in our culture, for a grieving parent who never had a chance to buy some of these toys, it can be a deeply healing moment. The deceased's favorite candies are often put on the altars, their foods. And this is not as weird as you would think. If you want your children to know what your house smelled like when you were growing up, make mom and dad's favorite foods and put them on the altar. Make the cookies. Do the same things they did when you were small, and let your children know who you are and who their grandparents were. In some towns, people spend all night beside the graves, letting them know, hey, we're here. They may bring blankets and pillows so that the dead can rest when they get there. Some families also dress up as the deceased, including makeup and clothing. But now that we understand where the holiday comes from, exactly what does it mean to us? As you used in 2013, why does putting a bunch of flowers and bright stuff and food on an altar matter? Today we are usually removed from death and dying. But prior to the 20th century, death was just another part of life. Children were born at home, people died at home. Friends and family cared for elderly people and for ill people. Coffins were handmade and cemeteries were nearby. And your kids knew who grandma and grandpa and that sister you had who died when she was 12. They knew about them because there wasn't television. There wasn't the internet. We told our stories to the people who came after us. We're not so good at doing that anymore. It's hard when you have to coordinate between electronic equipment and television and school to make people sit down and hear about what it was like when you were 7. The funeral industry today cares for people after death. Caskets cost thousands of dollars and are nothing you would make at home usually. And the family plot might be in another state or even another country. We don't necessarily get to take our families there. Some of us believe in an afterlife, others in an absolute end to existence. But whether our dead go on into mystery or just nourish the earth and nothing else, they are not gone. If I were to use small nails on a board to represent individual lives within our connected system and to connect them to one another by pen or fine wire to represent our relationships to each other, you would soon see a beautiful webbed pattern emerge. Grandparents connected to children and then to grandchildren. People connected to friends and neighbors. Employers, employees. Angry red lines might show connections between enemies. And delicate blue lines are dreamed about connections to the famous and the infamous. People we never meet, but we know all the same. And if I took this board with all those wires and nails and patterns, and I removed just one nail, the pattern would still remain. The lines would still connect. The lines that ran to that point and away again would still all be there, converging at that place. The nail is not gone just because it's gone. When I was a very little girl, one of my favorite people in the world was my adopted mother's father, my grandfather, who we all called Pawpaw. The man stood 6'4" in his stocking feet, so to a small child, he was the entire world. And he was a skilled commercial building painter. At 6 or 7, the best moment of my life was the day he took me to the top of the tallest building in Cincinnati and had me look over the side to see the hanging platforms, 48 stories from the ground, where he stood painting the huge spotlight cases and the building detailing in red and blue and gold out in the wind. And every night when I visited him, he would read me my favorite book, Matilda and the Foolish Wolf. So I want you to imagine this 6'4" man, his beer mug sitting boldly right beside him, reading the voices of a high-pitched Matilda and a low, growly, silly wolf, while I ate vanilla sandwich cookies and drank the Pepsi that I was never allowed to have at home. I still have that 45-year-old ragged little book. And from time to time, like today, I buy those same cookies and a can of Pepsi, which I hate. And I eat my cookies and I drink my Pepsi. And I read those words and I hear them in his voice in my head. And when I go to Cincinnati and look up at the Carew Tower, his light cases are still there, even though their colors are a pale red now. His nail is gone from the board, but his pattern will always remain. The Day of the Dead is about honoring those patterns, those holes in our boards where the nails used to be. It's the day for us to share our stories with family members and friends, to let our memories be alive again in the smells of the food, the voices of the dead, the sounds they loved. My grandfather may not be hovering around somewhere waiting to eat the spirit of his cookies, and he sure as heck would not touch the Pepsi. But I can read Matilda and the Foolish Wolf to our grandson, and I can do the voices, and I can even make the poor little British kid eat some of our lousy American cookies. And in that moment, Pawpaw will be alive. Through us on this day, the dead live, and they are beautiful. You don't have to build an altar like this one. Set aside what space feels right to you. Decorate it in ways that bring home your memories and your story. The colors and smells, flowers and images that make your family live again. Tell your family and friends. Tell the terrible stories, the funny stories. Make that hideous casserole your aunt always made. Bring out the preserved wedding dress, the stored golf clubs, the faded picture book. Recognize their place in your living story. They are not gone. And share with the children so that they can own this part of themselves. Welcome your ghosts. Be mindful and deliberate in calling them to you on this day because they are beautiful. I'd like us all to take a moment to think of those names and those people who are close to our hearts on this day but who have gone beyond. Even famous people, if your family is unknown to you. In a moment, I'd like to call you forward one section at a time. And I'm going to ask you to just speak aloud that name. We'll have the mics up here. And then the light, one of the tea candles on the altar. So if I could I have this section come forward and just make a line over on this side. And just speak aloud any name that you hold close to your heart today. And light a candle.
Dorothy. Pauline and Clarence Olson. Patricia Johnson Gillison.
Uncle Bill.
Stan and Georgia Brad and Rebecca Roda.
Dale Estee.
Center group on this side, from this part over, come on forward. Hildred Charles Beckwith.
Myers and the five Casey sisters.
and Patty.
My mother, Lynn. Marge and George Brewer. This is on their 40th wedding anniversary. My mom's favorite quote that I heard, my favorite quote of hers was, "You have to be an optimist to get married three times." They were married 48 years until my dad died. Peg Reavers and Katie Stout.
And if I could have everyone on this side come on down and form line on this side.
Mother Germaine,
who lived to be 102 and a half.
Grandma and Grandpa Backler and Uncle Bob and my cousin Cheryl Backler.
Mary Kate Sullivan, Carol Ackerman, Ann Hody.
My mother, Dorothea Bell.
Michelle Angus and her sister, Alice Louise Angus.
And if the far right side could come on down.
My friend Sherry, my aunt Sherry, my uncle John, my brother JP, and my father Norbert.
Mom, Dad, and Bob.
Aunt Kathy, Grandma Eleanor.
Brad, Skip, and Sean, who were stationed in Afghanistan with my husband.
Frank and Grandpa Gary.
Inez Wasik, her husband Martin.
My father John McGovern and my brother Brian McGovern.
Grandma Myra Corwin.
Jerry Stevens, Jerry Schwister, and Jim Stevens.
My father, Joe Foss. My grandparents, Anne Marie and Carl, and their children, my Uncle John, Uncle Steve, and Aunt Mac.
My grandfather, Robert E. Lee Davis.
My best friend, Mary Dorchester, my sister, Margaret Schenberg, my mother, Lily, Monica Sprowick, and my grandmother, Lily Colliner Sprowick.
My parents, Edith and John Markson, and my husband's Bob's parents, Bud and Marky Magnus.
Jimmy Mannion.
Brother Richard Irving Redeff.
Nikki, and a number of young men and women who died too soon due to suicide and mental illness.
My grandpa Troy.
Friends, Phyllis, and Rena.
extinguish the chalice, but its warmth and light will go before us to illuminate where we have been, where we are, and where we will be. Please stand, embody your spirit, and join in singing hymn 411, Heart in Peace.
May the lights of our stories and our love guide us and go with us wherever we may be. Peace, and may it be so. Thank you.